Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, joining us on the program, we have Dr. Janelle Barlow, a PhD and an award-winning speaker, trainer, consultant, and author who translates research into practical tools to improve customer service and complaint handling. She works with customer service representatives, managers, and entire companies both nationally and internationally to help them recover and retain customer loyalty. She has recently released the third edition of her bestseller, A Complaint is a Gift, How to Learn from Critical Feedback and Recover Customer Loyalty. And Dr. Barlow, thanks for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, you're certainly welcome and looking forward to learning a few things from you here today. So as we know, many people see Americans as a bunch of whiners. Yet according to your research, a very small number of people actually speak up about what are legitimate complaints. Why is this so? Let's start there.
There's a whole bunch of reasons. I have on occasion asked groups of people to list all the reasons, and they've come up with over 100. But the two major reasons why people don't complain are, first of all, we look at the person we're talking with and we think they're not going to do anything. And then, you know, so why bother? Why waste my time? And that happens an awful lot. And then the second major reason why people don't complain is that we're afraid that our situation will get worse. It's called reciprocity. They're going to do something bad to me. And a really good way for people to think about it is if you're in a restaurant and you don't like something that's on your plate, you'll think carefully about whether or not you want to complain about that, because it could get worse. Maybe the steak wasn't done properly. They may spit on that steak in the kitchen. That's a common thought that runs through people's heads. And then they say, should I complain? We weigh all of these things. And then we say, no, I won't. And that results in huge numbers of people not saying anything.
Really some interesting feedback per your response to that first question, no doubt. Now, why is it that so many people see complainers as gripers, whiners, and so on, yet most customers just want something fixed that they consider to be reasonable? And why is it that complainers are seen as negative? In most cases, they are. And actually, isn't feedback in many cases a positive learning lesson for a business?
Well, a lot of what we learned about complaint handling really started in our early childhood. We learned from our brothers and sisters and our parents. And one of the things that many parents will say to children is, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And you know, when you watch, if you've ever been in a line and you've watched somebody complaining to the person standing behind the counter, there's a real negative feeling that you have towards that complainer. So it's not surprising that we use the term whiner. Oh, there's lots of other words that we use as well. But it's a negative reaction that we have. You know, sometimes when I'm speaking to a group, I'll start off by saying, hey, did you know that today is National Complaints Day? And then I say, well, I'm really kidding about that. But many of you thought probably what that meant was that it was a day in which we said there should be no complaints. I'm of a different mindset. I think if we had a National Complaints Day, it should be a day in which people spoke out, because companies just aren't hearing about the feedback that they need to hear. It's a great marketing tool. It's a way to get closer to your customers. It's a way to thank them for telling you about something that you would probably not have noticed yourself in any case. So it's complaints aren't anything bad. I really dislike that term whiner. It disparages the customer. The customer, after all, bought your service, bought your product, and they want to tell you what dissatisfied them about your product. And that's what a complaint is. It's a statement of dissatisfaction.
I've also had people say, when been around someone who is complaining or giving their complaints out, that, what do you need, some crackers and cheese with that wine, referring to the whiners.
I've never heard that, but I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, isn't it? Now, I understand you define complaints as statements about expectations that haven't been met, yet so many people see complainers as cheaters, people who are trying to get something for nothing. Get into that a little bit, if you would.
Sure. Well, there are some who do. I mean, there's just no question about it. But it's estimated that maybe 4% of customers over a period of time will attempt to do some kind of cheating. I know people cheat with their insurance companies. They cheat all over the place. But it's not a huge number. It's just that they cheat in a number of different ways. So managers tend to think of customers as cheaters in a higher number than the people who are actually helping that customer. Customer service representatives, they tend not to think of them so much as cheaters. But it's not a good thing to do. Even if there are some cheaters in your crowd, you have to ask yourself, what if I misidentify somebody? And I think all of us have probably had that happen to us. You know, the person looks at us, their eyebrows cocked up in the air, and you're thinking, oh, they think I'm cheating. And that's such an unpleasant feeling, and it makes people get louder and noisier, and the whole situation can get very uncomfortable when that happens. It's just better accept them at their word. Now, what are you going to give them? That's another question. But just accept them that this is what was their experience.
Really do appreciate the feedback, and this is certainly some good information here today. We're speaking with Dr. Janelle Barlow, a PhD and author of A Complaint is a Gift, How to Learn from Critical Feedback and Recover Customer Loyalty, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, you talk a lot about emotional intelligence as an important component in handling complaints. How can businesses expect their frontline staff to be emotionally sophisticated when so many are taking these types of jobs as their first work experience?
Yes, you know, and many of these people are really sweet people, but they just don't know how to handle a complaint. There's some components of emotional intelligence that are very relevant for complaint handlers. One of the biggest ones is listening. You really have got to listen, and that's what good people with high levels of emotional intelligence do, is they listen very carefully. And when somebody is complaining, you just, you know, just open yourself up completely to hearing what they have to say. Maybe some of them are cheating, but most of them, the overwhelming majority, are not. They're just trying to tell you what's happened to them. Now, sometimes I will have to admit they do exaggerate and they get loud and noisy, but it's because it's important to them and they think that you're not hearing them. But if you really are listening to them, they'll get it, and they'll work in cooperation with you. That's one of the big skills, is the listening skills. Another one of the big skills is asking questions. You've got to be willing to ask questions. And in some ways, I think you almost have to be a snoop. You have to get in there and find out what happened. Well, then what happened? And then what happened? Actually, most people are very happy to tell you because they think that you're trying to help them solve their problem. But those are just two. Some of the other ones include, you know, if you can remember the person's name. One of the expressions that people use that I really dislike is I give them my name, and then a little bit later, and then they say, what did you say your name was? And I always say, it wasn't. My name is. I don't know where we've got that expression. It's cover up for somebody who can't remember your name. Write it down on a piece of paper that you have right next to your earphones, your computer. If you can't, just immediately get that name down so you can start to use that name. It's in some ways, it's insulting when you give somebody their name and then they can't remember it 1 minute later. That's not a level of high emotional intelligence. But I'll tell you, Eric, there's a lot of these skills. Now, I've developed a program in which we've taken a lot of these skill sets, emotional intelligence skill sets, and built them into the program. They're not normal kinds of, say, listening. It's not the normal kind of listening. It's listening for a complaint. It's not the normal kind of asking questions. It's asking to find out what's going on. Body language, all of these things, there's ways in which it needs to be applied specifically to the situation of complaint handling. And most companies absolutely do not teach their staff how to do these things. They don't. They assume that the people that they've just hired, those 19 and 20-year-olds that you were just talking about, they assume that these people know how to handle complaints. And those people learn how to handle complaints from their siblings. So their siblings were saying things like, you know, you get out of here, Mom, I'm going to tell Mom, you can't do that. And then they cry or whatever. And that's, you know, we bring that as our go-to response when we're handling complaints. And that go-to response is like an instinctive reaction to something that's happening in front of us. And we have to learn how to turn that off. We have to learn how to recognize when it's not appropriate and then do something else that is more emotionally intelligent. Children are not particularly emotionally intelligent. They're very emotional, but they're not particularly emotional intelligence. And that's what we have to do, is to work it out so that our staff can learn these kinds of skills. Eric, I've always thought that the person who's most effective at handling complaints has got some years on them. They've been working in this field for a while, and now maybe they're in their late 20s, early 30s. And sometimes the best people I've ever heard for handling complaints are people in their 40s and 50s. They've got a lot of mileage on them for dealing with people who are upset and are complaining. And, companies need to really work with that group of people instead of just taking the low salary people and putting them into these positions.
Totally agree with you there. I think we're 100% on the same page in all regards here. Not that you needed that, but I'm just telling you, like it is. Tell me about, what about complaints online? How are they different from complaints in person or on the telephone, and how are they shaping customer choices today?
They are, Ed, the number one dominant way in which people complain today. I mean, they just get right online and they type out what's in their little hearts. And sometimes it's exaggeration. Sometimes you have no way of knowing how accurate it is. You can't ask questions back and forth. But here's what's happening. There's some people at Harvard who have been asking questions, analyzing the comments online. 20 million of them in a single study. Can you believe that? I mean, that's just so enormous, looking at a group of customers. And here's what they found. First of all, if you've got a positive complaint coming in, let it sit there for a few days, because most of the algorithms on these platforms will let it sit there at the top. And most customers who read this feedback, and they do, boy, do customers read online feedback, they will read just the first or the very second page. So if you can keep those loaded with positive comments by not responding to them immediately, that's a real benefit. The negative ones you want to respond to very quickly, because then they'll drop down the line and people won't be seeing all of those. The negative comments, you need to be very specific in your response back to them. So if you're in a hotel and they refer to how soft or hard the beds are, you want to respond, yes, we got your message about this. I went back up, I checked in the room, and you're right. Those beds are too soft in that room, and I'm going to fix it. You want to be very specific, because the message you're sending out is, we take care of people. That's a really, really good thing to do. So be quick with the negative responses and be slow with the positive responses, but respond to them all. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's a really good policy to follow with your online complaints.
I like it. I like that policy that you have for online complaining. Now, lastly, communication about dissatisfaction is one of the most critical exchanges between customers and organizations. That you pinpoint many businesses that actually set targets to reduce the number of complaints they receive. What can you say about this as we conclude today?
Well, here's the problem. If you say to your staff, I am sick and tired of hearing about this, whatever the complaint is, I'm sick and tired of hearing it. What your staff will do very nicely, because you're the main customer to them, what they will do is they will simply not tell you about them. They just won't. And all that information gets hidden from the person who maybe has more power to do something about that complaint. I've talked with people who have told me how they've just created massive problems for themselves by sending that message out and by not hearing the complaints. I mean, it's just crazy if you think about it. I don't want to hear about what's wrong with us. That's just that's just one of the most stupid decisions that you make in business. Sometimes managers will say to me, but I want everything to be perfect. Well, good luck. You know, this is the world. We have imperfection here, and you want to hear about that imperfection so you can fix it.
Dr. Barlow, we really appreciate your visit with us here today. A lot of insight and information shared per your expertise on complaints and how this can be a positive thing for businesses for sure. And of course, you are the author of A Complaint is a Gift. Where can listeners get more information on yourself as well as the book A Complaint is a Gift and pick up the book as well?
Yeah, well, the Amazon, of course, is carrying it. My website is very easy to remember because it's the name of the book. It's www.acomplaintisagift, or people could actually even email me at janelle@janellebarlow.com. I'm available in a number of different ways. So that's it. I'm available. I'd love to talk with you. I love to talk with people about complaints. I think you could tell that, Ed. It's so such a fascinating subject.
It certainly is, and you certainly brought a lot of passion to this conversation today. Thanks so much. Again, Dr. Barlow, all the best. Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much. You're a great interviewer.
And you too. We've been speaking with Dr. Janelle Barlow, a PhD and author of A Complaint is a Gift, How to Learn from Critical Feedback and Recover Customer Loyalty. And for all the details, visit acomplaintisagift.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.